The report is called a civic health index, and the health metaphor there is useful because if you think about it, there are a lot of factors that go into the physical health of a population. And so you can ask people questions about what kinds of food they eat, how often do they exercise, do they smoke? And from those questions, you can get an assessment of overall population physical health. So in the same way, the civic health index tries to take a lot of different measures of people's political participation, their civic involvement, and also their social connectedness, and from that, assess the state of civic health. So in other words, how much are people participating in their communities and in politics in the state? So to answer your question then about political participation, this report has several measures. So the obvious measures are voter registration and voter turnout. And then also we ask people whether they've contacted their elected officials sometime in the past year, and how often they talk with friends and family about politics, and also how often they express opinions online about politics and public affairs.
And then also, similarly, if you could define civic involvement, if there are any other aspects that go beyond political participation that you encompass in that phrase.
Absolutely. So civic involvement is things like volunteering for organizations or taking a leadership role in a group in your community, donating to charity.
All right, so let's dive into the details now. I was tempted to ask for a one-word assessment of the report, but we don't necessarily have to do that. But if you could start out with just, if you could please give us kind of a general characterization overall of the results. We'll kind of go through some of the pieces specifically, but just overall, how did Texas do?
Well, if I think you could state it in one word, which is the civic health of Texas looks pretty anemic by the measures in this report. Rates of participation in politics and in communities are lower on most measures than almost every other state in the country.
So let's go through some of the specifics then. If you could kind of point us to some of the specific findings and some of the numbers in the report.
You bet. So in terms of political participation. Let's just look at the year 2010, which is, as you know, a year that brought many of our current statewide elected officials into office. In that year, Texas ranked 42nd in voter registration compared to other states, 44th in the number of people who discussed politics with others, 49th in the number of people who had contacted their elected officials, and dead last in terms of actual voter turnout.
Dead last is 51st.
51st because we include Washington, D.C., as well as the 50 states.
And so this is a percentage of registered voters who actually went to vote.
A percentage of eligible voters who turned out.
Yes. And Texas, bottom of the list.
Yes. And that's not a new pattern. As a matter of fact, we are able to track those numbers over time. And we find that Texas has consistently lagged behind the nation in voter turnout rates in every presidential and midterm election year since at least 1972.
All of those, obviously, voter turnout is a striking number. They're all low, which kind of begs the question, why? I mean, we're below 40 in all of those that you cited. Why is Texas in those low spots?
That's a great question. And obviously, in a state as big as Texas, there's likely to be many reasons. We focus on a few in the report. One of them is our relatively non-competitive elections in this state. So as you know, the minority political party here, the Democratic Party, hasn't won a statewide election in Texas since the early 1990s. What happens when you have pretty non-competitive elections like that is there's really not much incentive for the candidates, the parties, the media, voters, anybody to get really invested because there's not that much at stake when there's a high likelihood that this official will be reelected or it's obvious that there's going to be no real contest between the candidates. So frankly, media coverage doesn't tend to be as high. Voters don't get as involved. And the parties and the candidates don't try as hard to reach out to people when there's less at stake.
Any other sort of answers to that why question for why those low participation numbers?
One that we do focus on in the report is the fact that there has been a shrinking number of reporters assigned to public affairs positions in Texas. So there's been a pretty dramatic decline over the past decade. That actually is from an FCC report that was released last year.
I mean, one thing that makes me think of that's kind of interesting is while the number of sort of, I'm going to say, full-time employed reporters working at the Capitol is going down, I would guess, this is just anecdotally, that online participation, that there are other ways that people might be getting their information besides just sort of the mainstream traditional media, but yet that's not showing up apparently in these numbers.
That's a great question. And I actually think that's something that really begs for more research. We really need to delve into that question to find out more about where Texans are going for their information. And you're right that there are more online outlets, obviously, these days. There are more ways for people to get information. At the same time, one thing that I learned in the course of doing this report is that producing just a nonpartisan voter's guide is something that's left to local officials around the state. And so depending on what community you're in, you may or may not know how to access just basic nonpartisan information on the candidates and the issues that are facing you at the ballot.
So obviously Texas numbers are low, but some people are voting and are participating. We're not zero at everything. Can you talk a little bit about what the report shows the factors are that kind of correlate with participation and involvement? Who are the folks who tend to register or vote or become involved in their communities?
That's a really good question. And I should emphasize, this is not necessarily different in Texas than it is in other states. What we found was, in one sense, a very predictable pattern and an unfortunate pattern, which is people who are better educated from a higher socioeconomic position, people who have higher incomes. These are all the people who are more likely to participate, and also older voters. One of the stories of our report is a real drop-off in political and civic involvement between voters who are over 30 years old and voters who are 18 to 29 years old.
Again, another thing about kind of the demographic side of this is I'm wondering, Texas has such an influx of out-of-state folks.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if there's any correlation or relationship between not living here very long and a lower level of participation.
That's a wonderful question. That's exactly what I would love to do in follow-up research. So unfortunately, the census data don't tell us the answer to that question about how long have people lived in the state. I think it's a fabulous question. Now, the census data do tell us about immigration and citizenship status. So if we're talking about people who have immigrated to Texas from another country, we have data on those people. And it's very interesting because we have it broken down by people's citizenship status. So if they are immigrants who have not yet become naturalized citizens versus native-born U.S. citizens. And there you see, again, a pretty dramatic drop-off between native-born and naturalized. And then, of course, on political participation, non-naturalized folks aren't allowed to vote or register to vote. But even on the measures of civic involvement, on some of those, we see a real drop-off among probably newer immigrants to the state.
So I'm also curious if looking at the data and looking at the participation involvement numbers, if there are differences that come up across different racial groups, across ethnic groups, if you can kind of talk about the report and demographics, how those sort of matched up.
Yes, we find again and again on practically every measure in the report that there's a drop-off in participation and connectedness between Caucasian Texans, African-American, and Hispanics. There's a dramatic drop-off, particularly between white Caucasian Texans and Hispanic citizens in terms of political participation. Quite a dramatic gap.
Which is interesting because the population of the state doesn't mirror that. I mean, Hispanic population is growing, but
exactly.
But Caucasian participation is still outpacing.
Exactly. And that's what's so interesting about it. And as you know, Texas is in the national eye right now after the last presidential election. There's a lot of attention now on can the political parties come in and mobilize Hispanic voters, because we have so many under-mobilized, to use the political language, so many under-mobilized Hispanic citizens. And what we try to emphasize in the report is that the larger picture be taken into account. Our data suggests that there are very large groups of folks who have not been actively involved in the civic life of the state. They haven't been actively involved politically. They may not even feel invited in, so to speak. And we suggest that it's going to take a lot of work, not just to focus on mobilizing voters for the next election, but actually building sustained civic engagement among all of Texas's diverse communities.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about sort of who participates, who doesn't, and why they do or don't. So what does it mean for the state of Texas that we have these low turnout numbers and low participation numbers? How does that impact sort of all of us as a state?
One way is, again, by looking at political participation. One way to think about it is this. Going back to 2010, many of our current elected officials got elected in a context in which only about one-third of eligible Texans turned out and voted. So about two-thirds of eligible Texans sat on the sidelines. What that means is that a very active minority of voters is really determining the direction of the state and the future of the state, and everybody else is on the sidelines. And I think most people's definition of a healthy democracy, that would not be the picture, right? There would be broader, wider, more robust participation across the board.
So I know there are some suggestions in the report about how this could be turned around or how these numbers maybe could go up. What are some of those suggestions for maybe increasing political participation and civic involvement?
We focus on a couple of proposed solutions in the report that are things that research suggests can really make a difference. So one that we focus on that we're particularly interested in at the Annette Strauss Institute is civics education. Trying to think of ways that our civics education in our K-12 schools could be improved to go beyond just memorization of facts and actually help teach young people real civic skills. And the only way to do that really is through active learning, through community participation, through group exercises where students have to do research and work together and come up with solutions to problems. Those are the kinds of things research has shown can really make a difference in how likely young people then are to vote, to participate in their communities in a variety of ways.
And would lowering the voting age help?
That's a good question. I don't know. I can't speak from research on that. It's an impossible natural experiment for us to run. but I would say that the voting patterns so far, and this is not just in Texas, but in many other states, would suggest no, not necessarily, because we already see such a gap among, say, the 18 to 29 group or even the 18 to 24 group, a pretty pronounced gap between them and older voters. So I'm not sure that lowering the voting age is really the answer, but I would suggest instead, based on the research, that it's preparing young people to be more ready to move into that role of active citizenship as soon as they hit 18.
It seems like so much has been done in recent, you know, early voting, mobile voting sites. It seems like the mechanics and the kind of the hardware and software, if you will, are there. It's just getting the people to use it.
That may be true. I think the picture on Texas is a little bit mixed. The Pew Center just recently came out with a report that ranked Texas pretty favorably in terms of fairly short waiting lines at the polling places, et cetera. So you're right, we don't seem to have those kinds of hindrances. On the other hand, as you know, same-day registration, for example, and other ways of modifying the voter registration process have been suggested here, ways to make it easier and more convenient for people to register. Texas, of course, has been moving in the opposite direction in some ways, making it more challenging to register. And the research on that is very clear, that things like same-day registration boost voter turnout rates overall in other states that have tried it, and especially among young people, interestingly. When they can show up, register, and vote all on the same day, they tend to participate more.
So whenever we talk about a study or a report, people are always going to ask, how did you do it? How, you know, what did you look at? How did you ask the questions? What was the setup? So tell us a little bit, if you could briefly, just about the mechanics of the report, what you all looked at and how it was put together.
This report is based on U.S. Census data. And the census, many people don't know this, but they do surveys that also measure these kinds of indicators, like, did you vote? Have you contacted an official? Have you volunteered for an organization? So our report is based on those census data and then supplemented with other sources of data that we were able to find. We would love to do follow-up research that drills down into these questions specifically in the context of Texas.
So if we can kind of take a step back, all of the numbers are low, pretty low to very low. There are suggestions in here for ways to better them. If you sort of take a step back and take a deep breath, is this a Is this a discouraging report? Is this an encouraging report? Now that this work is done, what is your kind of frame of mind, kind of looking back on all of it and looking ahead a little bit, I guess?
Well, I do think that it's a wake-up call. It's a little bit like the person who visits their doctor because they know they haven't been feeling quite right, or maybe they didn't even know they weren't feeling quite right, and then they get some indicators in the doctor's office that they had better start paying attention to. We feel the same way about this report. It's a wake-up call, and it's an opportunity to look at things that could be done to try to help people feel more invited and more encouraged to participate.
Regina Lawrence is the director of the Annette Strauss Institute for Civic Life. And Regina, we thank you so much for coming in to talk about the report with us.
Thank you for having me.